Yes, we're almost over here on Friday's edition of World Football Daily, but there's still one more guest to arrive on our airwaves. Some may say that we've saved the best till last. We'll have to see if he can live up to his reputation. Mr. Rob Stone from Fox Soccer joining us here on World Football Daily on his World Football Daily debut as well. Another new debut for another new guest here on 2013. Rob, how are you, mate? It's a pleasure to get you on the show.
We're doing great. I do not back away from expectations. I'm glad to have expectations on there. We're going to finish strong.
Finishing strong indeed, Rob. Well, as I say, there's plenty riding on your appearance today, so let's get straight down into it. Fox,
what exactly is riding on my appearance? If you said there's plenty, what is it? Do you have one of my children kidnapped?
No, we're not that kind of a show. Don't worry, Rob.
All right, good.
We just want to know that we can bring you off the bench and throw you into the action whenever we need. You know, we want you to be the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Right, well, my aim is to be a starter, but I'll begin on the bench. I'm fine with that. I'm a team player.
All right, excellent stuff, man. Excellent stuff. Well, I'm sure with a strong showing in your debut, you'll be able to work yourself in the starting 11 in no time at all, man. You've got an incredible weekend of football coming up this Sunday on Fox Soccer in the English Premier League. Chelsea against Arsenal and Tottenham against Manchester United. First and foremost, Rob, which of these two games are you most looking forward to having a look at?
Geez, it's a good one. You know, I mean, the Chelsea-Arsenal matchup, you know, I love drama, I love turmoil, and both those clubs are really kind of in that right now. I mean, if you're an Arsenal fan, it's just been a brutal season because you're teased for 2-3 week stretches of brilliance and beauty and saying, oh, you know, forget RVP, we're fine. And then just a brutal egg is laid and you're saying to yourself, what has this club become? Where are we going? And you question a lot of things. And then Chelsea, you know, starting the season the way they did for so long in first place and then that dip in form and then the shocking managerial change. And now Demba Ba is the forward god and what is going to happen to Fernando and Rafa Benitez. You know, if he wasn't an interim manager coming into his midweek game with Southampton, he's a real, real interim manager right now. That loss. I love the dynamics of two teams. Kind of chaos is a strong word, but they're definitely still kind of questioning where they are and who they are. And then you hit Manchester United. And, you know, how often do you say the Red Devils have a revenge opportunity in front of them? You know, falling at home to Spurs earlier this season, now on top of the league, and every week City and even Chelsea and Spurs trying to tighten the gap between the league leaders and themselves, and they just can't do it. I kind of see this weekend as a game for United where they say, hey, you know what? We're going to officially end Tottenham hopes of reaching us, and then we're going to slowly and systematically pick away Chelsea and Manchester City. So it's hard for me really just to focus on one because I think both of them have these storylines that compel me for different reasons.
Well, let's take a look at Chelsea first and foremost here, Rob. As a football expert yourself, have you seen a difference in the way that this Chelsea side is playing and lining up compared under Rafa Benitez compared to how it was and was struggling under Roberto Di Matteo earlier on in the season?
Yeah, you know, it's so much of it. Chelsea's always pretty steady in the back, right? You know, and had to endure the Petrček injury and they got through that fairly well. But it's offense, right? I mean, offense is what we all really care about. We can hide our emotions and our strategies all we want. But that Chelsea managerial move was done, in my eyes at least, for Fernando Torres and bring in a fellow Spaniard and a manager who's familiar with him. And look, we paid all that money for him. We need to see the results. If we don't have a happy striker, we don't have a happy club, and we don't have happy fans, and the trickle-down effect is nasty. So Benitez comes in and kind of installs this faith and this belief again as Torres. And just when he was getting his form right, and just when that smile and the play was coming, because Benitez had put the focus back on getting Torres involved and letting him be the type of player that he is, they bring in an X-factor in Demba Ba, who, if you look at the track record, just does not coexist well with other forwards. And now the dynamic has really turned, and you know, the reports I get and the things I read and see, you know, it's going against Torres quickly. And in a nasty tone as well. So, you know, I think they went with the intentions of embracing Torres, and I think they have now ended up kind of pushing him up the floor almost.
Do you think it has been unfair on him? Because aside from maybe the last five games or so, Torres had a decent season for a striker that didn't cost £50 million. Yep. Pounds.
Well, you know, a lot comes with the type of player that he is, you know, from the pedigree and what he's done on the club level, the expectations are there regardless. And, you know, he's had these epic stretches of just poor production. And, you know, very well documented what he went through last season. And people want to move away from it, but once he hits a little bad patch, people are quick to go back to that. And that's their memory, and that's their focus, and that's them saying, hey, you know what, this guy is not working out. I just don't know if he's happy. You know, I'm a big guy where you need to have a happy player. And I get the sense he's not enjoying his game. He's not enjoying himself on the field. He's not enjoying himself on the bench either. You know, all the shot that we see is just kind of this borderline moping figure on the bench when really a guy who's that handsome and being paid that well should really, really be enjoying life no matter where you're taking in a game.
You've got a soft spot there for Fernando Torres, aesthetically at least there. For Rafa Benitez, he hasn't had much love since becoming Chelsea manager. But with Pep taking the Bayern job, if you're Benitez, would you like to stay as Chelsea manager, considering the situation that he's in with the fans not enjoying him in charge of their club?
Yeah, it depends how much that paycheck is, right? And how much he's enjoying London living. I think any manager would want to stay on with the project, but you're right. He's never been embraced. You know, it was an inconvenience, him getting dropped in. It was a bad setting for him to approach, and the fans never gave him a chance. And they always seemed to kind of...
Hey, Rob, we're having a little trouble hearing you here, mate. We're breaking you up. Can you hear us okay?
You know, Pep clearly had the opportunity, and he said no.
Sorry,
I hear you guys brilliantly.
Excellent.
I hear you guys fine.
Sorry about that, Rob. Didn't catch the end of your last answer there. I do apologise about that. When you look at Arsenal, you're talking about stability in these two clubs and how there's very little. When you look at Arsenal, though, getting that win in midweek in the FA Cup, a convincing win against Swansea, and re-signing Theo Walcott today, does this help steady the ship for Arsene Wenger considerably?
How about considerably? Because, like we said, every time you think that ship has found calm waters, you know, things start getting a little turbulent and bouncy. You know, January is a long month, and I think there's more news to come out of that Arsenal camp. In this transfer window and how that's going to shake things up. Certainly there's a call now that Theo Walcott has signed, you know, but there's also some cynicism where it's like, hey, you know, Arsenal, you got your guy. Hey, Arsenal, now you really got to go with the Theo way. You know, the dynamic of Arsenal right now is very interesting because they do have their eyes on that bottom line, and they're doing that job, and they're still a top-tier team. You know, people keep forgetting they're the second – you know, Premier League team that's still alive in the Champions League. You know, it's kind of an oh, by the way, fact that the Gunners are still in the final 16. So I like what they do. You know, I think you have to have an eye on the checkbook at some point because those rules and regulations are coming and coming quickly. And if anything, when it hits, Arsenal's going to be ahead of the game.
Who's going to be the most vital cog in that Arsenal machine against Chelsea this weekend?
You know, again, I like turning up top, and, you know, a guy like Podolski and Arteta and those type of guys are the ones that I see as being paramount and impactful because as long as you score, you've got a chance. And, you know, the Koscielnys and the stuff that they go on in the back is all fine and dandy. I'm a fan of sexy soccer, and I want goal scoring. And to me, you're going to win. You got to outscore the team, and I'd rather see them do that. So those are the things that I think they're going to focus on. And obviously, it'll be interesting to see what Theo does with that new contract in hand. You know, there's a thing about playing in a contract year, and then there's a thing about playing when you have that contract lined up. So will there be a dip in form and a dip in importance in his eyes, or does he step up and earn that brand new paycheck?
Do you see Arsenal trying to hit on the counter-attack using their pace down the wings? Because it's with the fullbacks pushing up so much for Chelsea, it's something that's been manipulated a couple of times now this season.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Chelsea has the speed that they really ideally would want. You know, that's probably part of this youth movement and their hesitation to sign some of their veterans. You know, once bodies hit, you know, what is it, 31, 32 over there in that part of London, people start freaking out apparently. Which I don't buy at all. I mean, look at the season Frank Lampard has had. But, yeah, I mean, there's a point to be made that, you know, you can only go so far if you don't have the young legs and the speed down there. And if you see an advantage and you feel you got better speed, boy, you better take advantage of it and pound on it. And I think that's what Arsenal sees.
Rob, let's have a look at Tottenham against Manchester United as well. That's a huge game this weekend. Tottenham beat United, as you said earlier, up at Old Trafford this season. Do you give them a chance of doing it again? United going forward are in such form.
Yeah, boy, aren't they hot. They're so much fun to watch right now. And the Sandro injury, you know, pretty impactful to what Tottenham has right now. This game has been crying out for me. And, you know, I'm going to take out my red, white, and blue flag and start waving it around right now. I'm going to stand up the American and Clint Dempsey. And, you know, we saw the numbers he had at home and the production he's had. And I think it's time for him to really kind of stretch it out and say, hey, guys, I am that guy. I'm the guy who can score for you, Adebayor, you know, away to Africa right now. So I see this as an opportunity for Spurs and Clint Dempsey in particular to try and put a stamp on what the season can be, because they're very, very much alive for a Champions League spot. And I still think they have an outside shot at making things really interesting in April and May for the title.
They've been playing in such sync this the last few games so far, but it's that defence that's got to be strong against United with Vertonghen in there, Kyle Walker, Kyle Norton, and Gallas or Dawson. How do you think this Tottenham defence will handle Manchester United? Will it have enough in it?
Well, they've been to church several times this week, I would assume. I would hope. I mean, that's the way you got to defend them. Now you got Wayne Rooney coming back, and you know Manchester United has not made any bones about how they're going to beat you. It's not going to be with their defense, because their defense has been much maligned and criticized, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. They've given up far too many goals, and easy, soft goals for a club of their caliber. But it's their offense, which is just absolutely awesome. You know, I don't think we've seen enough from Valencia, frankly. You know, when Anderson was healthy, he was really starting to kind of click, and then he got injured again. So there's so many weapons that United can throw at you. And what Robin Van Persie is doing, he's elevated his stature. He's elevated his name. I think everybody knew what a class finisher he was with the Dutch national team and certainly with Arsenal. But now that he's at that quote-unquote slightly bigger club, and the way he's finishing, the way he's integrated himself into this team so quickly, you know, he's now in that top three consideration for player of the year honors in the world. You know, you have to put him in my eyes at least, in the Messi and the Ronaldo conversation.
Do you really think he can push those guys for a Ballon d'Or, though?
I don't think he can. No, but it's nice to have a conversation about something else besides, you know, those two wonderful talents who keep tearing it up in Spain. You know, we got to have another guy to talk about. Iniesta bores me. You know, that's not sexy. Let's go to another country and another talent and what Van Persie has done. You know, not just with his left foot anymore. Oh, by the way, if you start watching some things, you're like, oh, there's another goal from the right boot. Oh, there's another one. You know, and what I love about Manchester United lately, too, is home corner kicks. Never have I seen this crowd anticipation and energy build up when the team has a corner kick. Now, they lead the league in corner kick goals, and they get this sense that they hand out to you that they can score every time they're taking a corner kick. And I'm not talking, you know, in the 85th minute of a tie game or a game they're trailing. I'm talking early stages, 0-0, or maybe they're up 1-0, where something can magically happen again off of a set piece from the corner spot.
Well, I mentioned his name earlier, and he was Tottenham's new signing in the summer, Jan Vertonghen, fitting into either left-back or centre-back. How impressed have you been by his adaption straight away to the Premier League game this year? How what's your rating out of 10 for him, actually, Rob, for his first half season in the Premier League?
I think he still has a way to go, but as so many people know and or are learning, you know, this is not an easy league to break into. You have to have a certain mentality. You have to have a certain bite in your game. And a game you may play in the United States or South America doesn't necessarily easily translate, not just to what the Premier League has to offer, but kind of the mentality of all the different clubs that come into town. And that's what I love. Like, I enjoy watching, you know, the Stokes. You know, that stuff gets me excited every once in a while. People may say, you know, what Tony Pulis has is kind of ugly ball and, you know, send it up and hard nose and big bodies. But that stuff is fascinating to me. And that's why I enjoy the Premier League, because it makes you, as a player, adapt, not just for a season, but every single game. It's a different type of element, an extreme element oftentimes, that are being thrown your way. So it's a lot to ask new signings to come in and step in right away when they are fresh to the league and fresh to one of the top teams.
Rob, I've got to do this to you. I know it's your first time. We should be going easy on you here on World Football Daily, but can you give us a score prediction for the two big Sunday games, Chelsea-Arsenal first?
That one reeks of 2-1 Chelsea. They got to bounce back. They got to get a win. And at Old Trafford, there's no way United falls twice to Spurs, right? There's no way. No way. I actually say they roll out a little bit of a thumping, maybe a 3-0 type effort.
Ooh, 3-0 to Manchester United against Tottenham. Just quickly, I'm sure you've seen the news about Nigel Atkins today, the Southampton manager. What have you made of that? Completely unfair, right?
You know, I don't like it. Sir Alex Ferguson doesn't like it, and I like to corner with smart people. So I agree with what SAF has to say about it. You know, I mean, here's a club that seems to be going in the right direction. That's my impression. You know, there didn't seem to be this huge unrest with the fan base. They were starting to really get results as of late, particularly. He seemed like a good figure to be in charge of that type of club. Everything in my eyes, even I know where they were sitting in the standings, seemed to be trending in the right direction. And then to pull this out, certainly very, very curious. That's the nature of the beast. And, you know, on the devil's advocate side, if you're the management, if you're the brass, and you are sensing that something is not right the way you want it to go, it's better to cut now and end that and start fresh. So whether it's a good plan or a bad plan, at least Southampton feels like they have a plan. Because there's a lot of clubs out there that you get the sense don't have a plan. Am I surprised by it? Absolutely. And I'll be very curious to see what the on-field reaction will be for the Saints.
Well, they play on Monday night. And Rob, you'll be following all of the action this weekend from the Premier League on Fox Soccer. Thank you so much for joining us here today on WFD. It was an absolute pleasure to get you on the show and have a chat with you, mate. And we look forward to getting you back as soon as we can.
Well, you guys got my cell phone number now, so just stalk away.
You can't hide from us now, Rob. You're in for the long run, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us today, mate.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good weekend. Rob Stone there from Fox Soccer joining us here on World Football Daily's Friday edition of the show, taking a look at the Premier League action coming this weekend. And you can follow Rob on Twitter at capital R for Rob and Rob Stone with the capital R, capital S on Fox, all in capital letters, all in one.
Yeah, that was nice. We haven't had Rob on the show yet. And I told him before we got on the recording that I've seen him several times. But I'm never one to really just go out and like introduce myself. I'm way too cool. I'd rather have people come up to me and talk to me. I feel way more important that way. So I haven't really gone out of my way to introduce myself to Mr. Rob Stone because I feel like I'm much too cool for that sort of thing. I like people to come to me and introduce themselves. And he seems like a really nice guy. He's always smiling. He always, you know, looks like he's having the time of his life, which I can respect, you know. And maybe some people are a little bit harsh on him. They, you know, it's almost like because he's so American, he doesn't belong in soccer or something. They don't want to, appreciate him, you know, doing the Fox soccer thing. I think he fills the void, right?
I think Rob was a bit of a demon, man. I've gone very impressed. Obviously, a guy who's incredibly knowledgeable about football. You don't get into that position, I guess, without being knowledgeable. But a lovely guy to chat to and very kind of friendly and whatever. Really got into the swing of it straight away. He was what WFD is all about, in my opinion.
Sure. And if you follow his Twitter, man, like the dude obviously is having the time of his life. He's enjoying himself. You know, he is the fan that we all are in this world of football. And, you know, like you can just tell, man, like all those pictures are him kind of like in awe of this and, oh, dude, check this out. And, oh, man, way cool this. And it's like, yeah, dude, you are living the life. Congratulations.
Yeah, it was pretty of a bit of a bad man. And Rob will be bringing us the action on Fox Soccer's epic Sunday as Chelsea take on Arsenal. And Manchester United take on Tottenham at White Hart Lane. There's plenty of scores to get into. Just quickly, Raf, we've got to run through the Premier League scores in a little bit of I Know the Score, a bit of IKTS continuing on WFD into 2013. Let's kick it off. Let's run down real quick, Raf. No need for explanation if you don't want to for these games. Liverpool against Norwich. Give us a score, man.
That is going to be 2-1 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool. I'm going 2-2 in that one. I can see Norwich getting a draw away. Manchester City against Fulham at the Etihad.
Oh, man. This is a 1-0 to City.
I'm going 2-0 City. Fulham struggling, but yeah, definitely a City win. Newcastle against Reading. I'm going for a 1-1 draw. Reading flying high after last weekend's comeback.
I'm sorry, who was it again?
Newcastle Reading.
Oh, Newcastle need a win. Please, Newcastle, do not screw me over anymore. You and all your little Geordie fans, quit screwing me over. Get a win already. Play to your potential. Newcastle, 2-0 over Reading.
Swansea against Stoke. The big Potters coming into town, into Wales, to take on Swansea City. 1-0 Swansea, mate. They definitely get the win. Bouncing back from midweek.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with you. 1-0. I think that's kind of a fair result. I definitely think they're going to get the win. I don't think it'll be too pretty. Is any game ever pretty when you're playing Stoke, though?
No, it's never pretty. It's generally pretty tall, but pretty ugly. West Ham against Queen's Park Rangers. Bit of a London derby, mate. Bit of Harry Redknapp taking on West Ham, his old club. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is good. Harry gets a sentimental win, as they're all kind of sentimental. Doesn't Harry have some sort of like connection to every club in one way or another?
Yeah.
Whether he managed it or his son played at it or, you know. I'm going to say QPR 3-2. That's what I'm going with. 3-2.
This has got 0-0 written all over it, mate. It's going to be boring. 0-0. Wigan taking on Sunderland. Sunderland lost out in the cup in midweek to Bolton. Wigan could do with a win just to move themselves away from the relegation battle. I'm going 1-0 win, Wigan at home.
Yeah, I'm with you. 1-0 Wigan. I could really care less about these two teams at this point in time.
And forget Super Sundays. It doesn't get bigger than a big Midlands derby. West Bromwich Albion taking on Aston Villa. 5:30 kickoff. I tell you what, the crowd is going to be absolutely pumped up and drunk as hell for this 5:30 kickoff game. It should be a great atmosphere at the Hawthorns. 2-0 West Bromwich Albion. Villa continue to struggle.
Yeah, I don't see Villa doing anything special. And I see a 2-1 WBA win.
All right, before we get into Sunday's games, let's do Monday night first. Southampton against Everton.
All right, yeah. 1-1 draw.
Oh, I'm going for a 2-0 Everton win. They'll be regretting this decision, Southampton, for a long time to come. Arsenal take on West Ham on Wednesday night. Brief one, Raf.
Arsenal 1-0.
Arsenal 2-0, but yeah, definitely an Arsenal home win. And they're going to be riding off the back of a win at Stamford Bridge this weekend. Arsenal will scrape a 1-0 win against Chelsea.
2-1 to the Chelsea.
Ah, 2-1 to the Chavsky. I can't believe you're going with them. Tottenham against Manchester United. Do Spurs do the double over the Red Devils this season?
It would be really, really awesome, but I don't see that happening. This is going to be 1-0 to United.
2-2. I'm going for an all-out brawl. An absolutely epic game of Barclays Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, those are, again, sometimes you just kind of, your heart gets carried away and you just want to see a great game between two great clubs. Oftentimes when two great clubs clash, it's really boring.
For sure.
So, yeah, it would be awesome to see that, man. Trust me. I'd be all for a 2-2 draw.
I think everybody would like to see that. There's big fixtures elsewhere around Europe. Just quickly, Lyon take on Evian tonight in Ligue 1 on this Friday evening. Schwarz take on Remy. Montpellier take on Marseille. Toulouse take on Nancy. Ajaccio take on Valenciennes. Brest, Saint-Etienne and Laurent-Troyes all on Saturday in Ligue 1. And then on Sunday, Bastia take on Rennes. Lille take on Nice. And Bordeaux take on Paris Saint-Germain. Lyon lead that Ligue 1 by 2 points over PSG, with Marseille a point behind second place PSG on 38 points. Heading into Serie A, they've got some tip-top ties this weekend in Serie A. Palermo against Lazio to whet the appetite on Saturday, and then Juventus against Udinese. Udinese flying high after two big wins in a row, smashing, of course, Inter Milan, and then following it up with a big 3-1 win over Fiorentina last weekend. Fiorentina take on Napoli with the very early morning kickoff on Sunday. AC Milan take on Bologna, Chievo Parma, Atalanta Calgary, Genoa Catania, Pescara Torino, Siena Sampdoria, and then Roma Inter should be an absolute thriller on Sunday night. We've got a big game in the in La Liga this evening as well. Espanyol take on Real Mallorca, and then Saturday Granada take on Rayo Vallecano, Real Sociedad, Barcelona. Barcelona continuing to be undefeated in La Liga. Just incredible to watch them at the moment. Getafe take on Sevilla. Malaga take on Celta Vigo. Buoyed, surely, by that midweek draw against Barcelona. Osasuna on Sunday take on Deportivo La Coruña. Valladolid take on Zaragoza. Atletico Madrid take on Levante. And then Valencia take on Real Madrid. A repeat of the Copa del Rey fixture from midweek. Will Valencia exact revenge on that 2-0 Real Madrid win? And then, of course, we've been through the Bundesliga already today with Mr. Mr. Holman joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things Bundesliga. Herman. Second big mistake talking German football today. I do apologise. And I apologise there to Matt Herman for joining us. Although, I have to say, Matt, Mr. Rafael Gonzalez in his email to me today said that we were having Matt German on. So, I don't know. It's not just me that's getting confused with the German language today here on WFD. I'm just throwing it out there, Raf. I'm just throwing it out there.
One that you kind of overlooked. I can't believe you overlooked this one. But I'm going to give them their dues, especially since we had Derek Ray on the show this
I week. I knew it was going to be Scottish football.
Celtic playing host to Hearts of Midlothian. I'm just saying. Could be an interesting one. And, you know, I think it's probably not worth a watch. But I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
You just
Peterhead hosting my Rangers on Sunday, Scottish Division 3. Let's go, Rangers.
And I'm sure you can find that on ESPN, The Ocho. ESPN 8.
Yeah.
Rafa's had a fantastic idea just quickly before we leave the show of creating his favourite party animal 11. Who would be the 11 footballers that you'd want to take on a night out with you? We're going to get straight into that on Monday's edition of World Football Daily when we come back from the weekend, because I've been trying to do it towards the end of the show and I've got 8-9 names down. I still need two more and I can't think of anything right now. But Raf, I promise you, we will go through the Party 11 come Monday. Over the weekend, email us your Party 11, show@worldfootballdaily.com. @WFootballDaily is our Twitter handle. And of course, you can find us on Facebook or you can call us 310-909-8483. That has been a magnificent week of World Football Daily and of world football in general. So much to talk about and then so many games coming this weekend that will be worth watching. I'm definitely going to be trying to catch a bit of Roma against Inter on Sunday night. The NFL playoffs as well, though, Raf. I'm getting distracted by all the sport going on around the place. It's very difficult to follow everything I want. And, of course, there's a basketball as well. My Clippers still killing it in the NBA, despite that loss to Orlando last weekend. But we won't talk about that anymore. It's been a fantastic week. A big thanks to all our guests. A big thanks to Matt Herman, of course, and Mr. Rob Stone for joining us today on Friday's edition of WFD. We will see you after the weekend. Enjoy the football. And I'm going to enjoy a bit of snow over here in England. There could be some games called off this weekend. Who knows? Take care. Have a fantastic weekend. And we will see you come Monday. Same time, same place, right here at World Football Daily.